opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
For Buffington, the Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman. He's John Senecal. This is episode 202. If you are watching on YouTube, I don't even know if you post these, but I am in the basement of our small home on Cape Cod. We have the insulation above my head, and this is my studio when I'm remote, and John is in parts unknown.
And I'm in the basement, too, of my building. But I'm,
oh, you are?
Looks a little more inviting than yours, Brian.
Just a tad. It shows you how low budget we are right now. Listen, we have plenty to talk about. The rundown for the show is we're going to do a little team updates. We'll look ahead to July and the schedules. We'll talk a little bit about the Ketel Marte heckling situation and then maybe have a little fun with some player names at the end. Weekend series for the Red Sox, I mean, it's as predictable as it's been. I thought maybe it would be different this time, but what they do, they've had a pattern of this. If you look at their schedule and you look at their record, they've had these runs and they go 500, one game, two games, three games over, and then they tank. They go 3, 4, 5 games under, and then they win. And they never can seem to get that second leg above 500. I mean, a week ago we were talking about them being in the wild card, and now they get swept by the Angels. I mean, listen, if they could have taken 2 out of 3 in San Francisco, the story would be different. But the team's just not. I mean, there's no other way to talk about it. There's only 1,000 different things we've said. They're not that good, and the question really I have, and I want to hear your take, and then we'll go into the schedule because. There's a really strong sentiment about, you know, to what degree are they going to be sellers at the deadline? And that, you know, whether it's Trevor Story or, they can't maybe get what they would thought they could for a Jaren Duran, but are they going to sell and how much are they going to sell? And that to me is a little bit of the focus right now.
I talked about it before. You know, Walker Buehler, I feel like, was their big chip, but he is absolutely floundering. I mean, I don't even know what's going on with him.
He's been terrible.
I mean, I don't think he's hurt, but who knows? I mean, you can't be that bad after being that good for so long. The other thing is, you know, you mentioned Jaren Duran. There's a lot of hubbub right now, like maybe the Phillies would be interested in getting Jaren Duran. I could see that happening because the Phillies, you know, they're always an all-in team. They don't care. They're going to go for it. Yes, the Jaren Duran stock has dropped a little bit because he's not playing as well. But come on, let's be honest. He is the most tradable player on the Red Sox by far. You cannot teach speed. You cannot defend speed. And that alone should be worth a trade chip. And again, you might put him on a better team with a better, you know, all around lineup, and he could totally take off. So I could see that happening, because you could still get a very good haul for Jaren Durant. Trevor Story, I don't know. I think the Sox are stuck with his contract until he's gone. And I feel like, he's got like three more years after this.
Yeah, but he's been hitting, and he's a veteran, but maybe you're right.
I just don't think he's as sexy as Durant. You know what I mean? Like, if teams are going to want a game changer, I mean, right now, I don't see Trevor Story as a game changer. He's a great player by all means, but he's not a game changer.
What about the Yanks? How you feel?
Well, you know, it's funny, Brian, a couple of weeks ago, you were like, the Yanks, they pretty much wrapped it up. And I said, don't count it. Don't talk too early, because we got the June Boone swoom, we hit it. I'll tell you something, obviously, we're talking about it and talking about the inability for the Yankees to score runs in general, right? I mean, just awful. But then we talk about the extra innings. Oh my God. I've been saying this all along. They are the worst team statistically since the Ghost Runners have been put into play since 2020. They have the worst extra inning record in baseball. They only had 12 extra inning wins. It's just terrible. They were 1-for-21 in the series in extra innings at bats. Against the Reds.
Really?
Terrible. Yeah. 0-for-12 on Tuesday and 1-for-9 on Monday with runners in extra innings. I mean, it's just awful. It's just awful. And, Aaron, they talked to Aaron Judge after the last loss, extra inning loss on Tuesday night, and he had said, they approach every inning the same, which is basically hit a home run, right? You get a guy, if you don't get a guy on, you hit a home run. But right. then he said something interesting. Well, maybe we have to change our approach in extra innings. It's like, whoa, a light bulb went off after 4.5 years. Of course you need to change your approach, especially on the road. The Yankees were exploited in the playoffs for being a lazy team and not hustling and just not executing. They've been exploited this year for the same thing. Terrible base running, lackadaisical play, and the inability to score runs in extra innings is going to absolutely destroy them. I know the playoffs is different, but that doesn't matter. You got to get there first. And Tampa Bay is knocking hard on their door. So is Toronto.
So basically you want to use the first at bat and extras to just advance the runner, and then you have two chances to score.
Exactly. 100%. I mean, you have to score. You have to score. And the Yankees, they're not even trying. It's hit a home run, hit a home run, hit a home run, all for nothing swings. I'm not talking about you have to bunt the runner over. I'm talking about situational baseball. Push the ball to the right side of the infield. Chop the ball to the second baseman. Do what you got to do. Put the ball in the air to right field. To put the ball to the outfield. Hit a fly ball. Get the ball somewhere other than trying to hit a home run. It's all or nothing every time. And it's excruciating.
When's the trade deadline?
It's the end of July this year.
Okay.
Like July 31st.
So, let's transition. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, episode 202 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Because I want to look at the schedule, because this is going to be really defining in July. So we're sort of putting like closing the book on June, even though it's a touch early. And I'm looking at July, and the Red Sox have, it's literally cut in half. The first half of July is so target friendly for the Red Sox. They go Cincy, Washington, Colorado, Tampa. Now I know Tampa's pretty good, but there should be on paper more wins and losses. Then in the second half of the month, check us out. Cubs, Phillies, Dodgers, Twins. So the second half of July is a total bear for the Red Sox. They're playing all sort of playoff caliber teams in that second half. So they would need to be significantly over 500 going into that second half and then play 500 through the rest of the month to come out alive. There's a chance. There is a chance that they are sitting with the Orioles at the bottom of the division and sellers by the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this schedule and they have 11 home games and 12 road games, and I don't even see it as easy as you think you see it. I mean, Cincinnati is by no means an easy get.
We saw what they did to the Yankees.
And they're scoring runs. Washington is not an easy beat. Colorado is surprisingly one of the better scoring teams in baseball the last two
by
weeks.
By the way, where are we?
18. They're 18 wins. 18 wins.
So you're going to lose.
All right, slow your roll. Slow your roll. But listen, I feel like the only real kick there is Colorado, right? I mean, the Twins are hit or miss, but you have got a gauntlet there as far as teams that are going to be hard to beat. And then if you look at the Yankees, the Yankees are in rough shape, obviously. They're not winning their series. They're squandering. They're kind of faltering right now, but they have three against the Jays away, three against the Mets away, three against Seattle at home, 3 against Cleveland at home, 3 against Atlanta away, then the Jays again for 3, then the Phillies at home, and then the Rays for 4. Now that, my friend, is an absolute gauntlet for the month of July.
Yeah, that is, I mean, there's, I don't know, the Yankees are so interesting to me because it really is, because I truly felt like they were going to breeze, and there are some days they look unbeatable, and there are some days you're like,
Judge went into a mini slump. Judge went into a mini slump, and the Yankees slumped with him because no one was hitting. Now, the game on Wednesday night, the final with the Reds, everybody hit in that game. Most everybody hit. There was guys on base, so there was runs to be scored. It's just the Yankees cannot live or die by Aaron Judge. So when you talk about the trade line, not only do they need bullpen help, they are going to need another bat in that lineup somewhere. They are going to, because if without Goldschmidt producing like Goldschmidt should, and he's older, yes, he is going to play because he's a great defensive first baseman, but you need someone that's a proven bat that is going to hit all the time. These guys, Goldschmidt and Rice, they're just they're not consistent enough.
Yeah,
even that's the catcher at Wells. I mean, look at Wells; he's batting just around 200. There's not enough consistency in that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's stunning how up and down they've been. Remember, we were so excited about Ben Rice's production, and then just totally disappears. You want to? What's the deal with Chisholm? You got an issue with him?
Well, I mean, the thing I don't like about Jazz is, you know, I've said it a lot. I feel like he's a little bit immature. I just don't, you know, he plays the game like he's a happy player, which I love. He's always smiling. He's always got a lot of passion. But what he did on Tuesday night in Cincinnati put the team in a bad position. You know, we got called out on a bad pitch, really bad pitch. It was probably like 6 inches low, and he called out. It was 2 pitches before in the at bat, but it put him in a bad position. He wound up striking out. So he gets mouths off to the umpire, comes out of the game, comes back onto the field, and he starts basically looking at the home plate umpire, and he's talking, but he's not talking umpire. Umpire throws him out. He goes nuts. Now he's out of the game, though, and now the game has to go into extra innings. The Yankees they move a bunch of players around. Ascara winds up playing third base, who's basically your backup catcher. Everything's out of sorts in the lineup, but he puts his team in a bad position. Right. You cannot do that. You have to stay in the game. You have to be smart enough to stay in the game. And that's just part of it. You know, he's always swinging for the fences. He swings out of his shoes for a home run every time. He's, other than Jason Dominguez, he's the fastest player on that team. He needs to change his approach and get on base. Let the other guys drive you in.
Look at you, anti-Moneyball.
You cannot do that to your team in that situation. You cannot do it. You have to stay in the game regardless of the situation, but especially there, right? You said your piece, you got screwed. The ABS system is coming, Jazz. It's coming. Don't worry about it. I know you hate striking out on bad pitches, but it's coming.
So he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's transition to this Ketel Marte story. And I don't know everything. I don't know what the person said, but somebody was heckling him regarding his dead mother.
Yeah.
And he ends up he had a bit of a breakdown on the field. And now this guy who was doing it has been banned indefinitely from all major league stadiums. So it was a big reaction. I'm torn. I'm torn about this because I am very firm in my convictions about being a fan. I'm not even a booer. And this is where you and I diverge in this. I don't boo, and mainly because I just had so many years as a journalist. Like I don't really take sides. I don't even cheer a lot, really. But I feel like I don't pay. Being a paying customer, people always said, I bought my ticket. I can do what I want. I've never felt that way. I try to engage with the players and what have you, but I'm not a booer. So heckling somebody at any level is something I wouldn't do. And heckling somebody on a personal matter is something I would never do. So that's just hard for me to access that on that level. The second level, though, to me is, I think the mental health of our young athletes is really an issue that we don't talk about. And maybe people, this might be a little harsh to take on this story, but like having, you know, follow the Jaren Duran stuff. And the fragility here is like, you can get mad and want to beat the pulp out of the guy, but like, these fans are stupid. And if you don't know that the fans are stupid and have the ability to just sort of slough it off, even though I understand if my mom passed away and it would upset me, like, there's something else going on either with Ketel Marte and his mental health, or I don't even know exactly what was said, because a pro athlete probably needs to not to be able to manage it in a different way. That's just my instinct. I mean, that could be harsh or unfeeling, but like I don't think there's any place for that in the sport. But I was really stunned that he had that kind of emotional reaction.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's no place for it. But you really bring up an interesting point, Brian, that I did not think about there, because you're talking about something that happened in 2017. You know, that's eight years ago. Now, granted, death is the hardest loss anybody is going to face, regardless if it's a human or a pet. It's just not good. But for someone to be that emotional for something that happened in 8 years ago, right? Now, granted, he came up to the plate and he heard it in his at bat and he carried it onto the field. So in the manager, Lovello, could totally tell there was something bothering him. So, I mean, that lasted with him. So it definitely triggered something with him. Maybe it was something where he hadn't thought about his mother in a while, which I highly doubt, because anybody who's lost someone they love, you think about him every day, obviously. But you are right, Brian. Maybe there is more of a deeper issue there, because for something to trigger that hard after 8 years I'm not going to say alarming. It's concerning, you know, but I really feel for Ketel Marte. I think MLB handled it well. I think the White Sox handled it well. And, you know, again, this is just another example. And I'm going to say it. It's just more alcohol playing a part. A 22-year-old probably having too much to drink. And this idiot did his research, obviously, because you dug back in the research. I mean, to dig that deep and bring up something about your mother dying in a car accident 8 years ago. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, Jesus, you did your research for this one. You came prepared. I mean, you're an idiot.
I don't understand what's to gain. Like, if it's a playoff game, you want to tell him his shoe's untied or some bull crap. But, like, the personal stuff, I'm not some huge guy protective of the athletes, but it's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, you know, oh, don't go there. Like, it's not even that for me. It's just, like, it's just dumb. And, yeah, and alcohol and youth and ignorance is – a recipe for some problems. But I also feel like, you know, a lot of these athletes are pretty good, but it shows you they're human too. Like, I'm torn on it, because it's like they're people, they're not robots. But I think that the reaction is, you know, there's something going on with him that makes him vulnerable. And I think vulnerability is compelling in a pro athlete, but it was tough to watch.
It was really hard. And I'm still trying to figure out how MLB can ban people for life from stadiums. I just don't get how that is absolutely even possible to do. I mean, because you could go with someone who bought a ticket for you and just walk in with them. I mean, I don't think they have face detection.
Yeah, if you buy a ticket, just do it with somebody else's credit card
So I think it's a great gesture. It's a posturing thing. It's like getting the key to the city. It ain't opening any door for you, buddy.
Right. Well said. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You know, we have some fun on our morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080. There's been a Matt Sarois who produces this show and produces my morning show. There's been some fun names, and you're not sure, like here on podcast world, you can say more of what you want. You're not as beholden to the FCC, right? But, you know, the Red Sox have Richard Fitz, which is Dick Fitz. And, you know,
there's a lot of dicks in the nicknames.
It's a lot of dicks, and this one fits. And the thing is that it turns you into like a 12-year-old, right? Like my son, like giggling at stupid crap. And those are just birth names, but what parents with the last name Fitz names her kid Richard?
Yeah, that one's a tough one for me.
I mean, it's just so dumb.
It's funny. There's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of dicks. I mean, I look back and there's a Dick Burns who played in 1883. There's a Dick Cox who played in 1925. But, you know, it is funny because these names, you know, the ones I remember obviously growing up were Catfish Hunter, right? Who he just got a nickname because the owner of the A's wanted him to be known. So he liked fishing for catfish, he heard. So he started calling him Catfish. Then there's Oil Can Boyd, a famous Red Sox. But then the one that stuck out with me, because I collected baseball cards, was a player on the Expos, Razor Shines. So I automatically thought of that. And his name is actually Razor Shines, which is crazy. Is Anthony Razor. His middle name is Razor, Anthony Razor Shines. So it's legitimate, because most of these guys, it's nicknames, right? Because there's old guys like Buttercup Dickerson. His real name is Louis Pisano Dickerson. You know, it's usually a nickname. Boob Fowler is Joseph Chester Fowler. You know, so I like it when it's actually their names, you know.
But like the modern stuff is like all their names, they're not nicknames. Like those, those old ones are all nicknames, and the new ones are real names. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just it is.
Milton Bradley was another one. Milton Bradley was another good one. I liked him. That was a funny name.
Well, he was an outfielder mostly for Cleveland, right?
Yeah, and of course, Coco Crisp. You know, famous Red Sox Coco Crisp, whose real name is Covelli. I found another one. It was funny. The Sox drafted a guy in 2010 named Rock. Like an actual Rock Shoulders, his name was Rock Shoulders. And he never panned out. He never made it above A-ball. He was out by 2015.
So you looked up a bunch of this stuff.
Yeah, I looked them up, but I thought it was interesting because, you know, these names they're crazy. They're just like, I mean, Rusty Cunts? Come on.
Oh, come on. No.
Yeah. Yeah. 1979 to 1985. His real name is Russell J. Cunts. Dick is easy. I mean, that's an easy pick because there's so many named Richard, and everyone calls him Dick, right?
Dick Fitz is
Dick Fix and Dick Cox, man. I'll tell you,
I think we've lowered the bar enough. And any apologies to any young children who've been listening to the show and got this far. First of all, kudos to you. But otherwise, we'll put a ribbon on it. We'll probably maybe try to do something before the holiday. I'm not sure, but John, as always, great job.
All right. Good seeing you, Brian. Get out of that bomb shelter, man. You need a better backdrop.
You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.